reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Munaya Padavim Yasya Nisamye No Rujambhavi. Nabhidur Nigayanto Ki Tivra Yog Samadhina. Narada Muni continued, after trying this process for many births and remaining unattached to material contamination, placing themselves continually in trance, and executing many types of austerities, many mystic yogis were unable to find the end of the path of God's realization. Om Janata Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Bhavatam Yena Tejmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sakitam Yena Vitale Nayam Bhu Sakadamayam Vidati Sakadam Sitam Vanchakalpa Tiru Jyasya Sipas Vaye Vishya Satita Manam Pavane Sri Vrishnaya 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 Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Gita Nagari. It's so nice to be here. I'm really going to spend the weekend or the rest of the weekend and tomorrow in Harrisburg at the home of Graham and Monica and Elsbarada. Some of you may know that I'm going to write a book with them called The Karna and the Swami Walk in the Woods, Everything You Need to Know About Life and Death. Graham has a television show. It's one of the top 50 cable shows in America called I Speak for the Dead, where they have a reenactment of different crime scenes that he's dealt with. And I Speak for the Dead, from those crime scenes, he speaks to them, basically social commentary. And he's doing this only to be and preach God consciousness, and so I thought it'd be a very good opportunity where we'll each comment from our own traditions on different issues that he deals with. But it's nice to be with Gita Nagari, and especially Devamrita Swami's here. So I know Henry's on here. Henry, maybe I'll call you this week. Maybe sometime this year I can come out to Washington and we can sit down to Gita Nagari for a day or something, and or meet you in Gita Nagari and we can visit Devamrita Swami and see Radha Damodar and take lunch or something. But we can discuss that. Okay, so now we're up to the part where we know that Narada became inspired to visit Dhruva Maharaj. This is called the transcendental system. God is in our heart, and he's in everyone's heart. So our desires spiritually, by that communication system of super soul, can be expressed to a sadhu. God is always watching our hearts, looking for our sincerity and humility. And according to our desire, to advance in Krishna consciousness and continually go forward, God inspires a sadhu to give us association. So, this is what happened. This young boy with so much determination, a life of determination that was so inspiring, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in this pursuit of Raja Bhakti, would hear about his story from the Gadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath as an exemplar of determination to advance in spiritual life. We need exemplars of different things and different ways to act. You know, lady devotees, they may need to, or married people may need to have a grihastha couple that inspires them, and they have to read about great devotees that inspire them in different ways. So Dhruva was an inspiration of determination to such a degree that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to his story. So somehow or other, Dhruva just left determined. Now I'm going to find God. It's only by taking shelter of God can my desires be fulfilled. My mother told me there is no remedy. There is no remedy that can help me. There is no remedy that can solve my situation. I have stage 4 family problems. Stage 4 cancer, there's no remedy. So this stage 4 family problems. This is stage 4. My father's a hopeless fool attached to his co-wife. It's fixed, his mother said. There's nothing you can do. It's stage 4 family problems. Live with it. And the only way you can deal with it is to surrender and take shelter of God. Because God is the ultimate shelter. Shelter is where your needs can be met and you will be satisfied. Any problem that you have, the only satisfaction the only hope is taking shelter of God, because that is the shelter, not the solution of your problem, not your perfect family, not your perfect health, and not your perfect anything else. The only shelter is your perfect relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can satisfy you. And real satisfaction, unless your heart is ultimately filled with love, you will be dissatisfied in any situation that you find yourself in. Until you come to that, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be happy. And if you have that, you will be satisfied in any situation. So, take shelter of God, and he, yes, yes. Sometimes we have that in our heart, yes. This was it, he understood that. So, he immediately left home, and somehow or other, that desire in his heart, I am seeking God. Even though I'm 5, even though the forest is dangerous, I will seek God. That type of determination, that type of voice, I will seek God. I will take shelter. No matter what happens to my life. That type of inspiration was so inspiring. So he left, and then Narada came and preached to him. But renunciation always has to be tested. Because if it's artificial, the very thing that's a spiritual process and may be able to liberate you will destroy you. One second, I have a bad throat. Yeah, interesting point. This is a relevant point because someone came in, so I have to just put them up. So Dhruva Maharaj is leaving. Narada Muni is impressed with his determination, his renunciation. But the point is renunciation has to be tested. Because one man's food is another man's poison. So if your platform is artificial, then the same thing that may be promoted in the Shastra ultimately, and it's glorified in terms of renunciation, will be a situation where someone's mind will be more disturbed. And it'll be worse for their spiritual life. So it's always got to be tested when someone says, you know, I'm renouncing. I'm going to perform this. And we see that Lord Chaitanya, also tested Raghunath Das Goswami when he left home. He sent it back. You know, because a lot of times, renunciation could be for the wrong reasons. It could be because I'm a loser in the world, I'm frustrated in the world, you know, and then you really can't live a renounced life, but you take the position of a renounced life and you don't make any advancement. It's like, a, you know, sannyas is wonderful for preaching and spreading Krishna, but we see if someone's not qualified, they do more harm than they do good to themselves and others. So it has to be tested. It has to be tested. And so Lord Chaitanya is, so Narada is testing it. And, he even says, because he knows he's testing him, he says, in my opinion, he said, in my opinion, bhakti is too difficult. Bhakti is not difficult. On the platform of material capability, it's not too difficult if anyone can do it. It's difficult on the platform of humility capability. If bhakti means you got to surrender, so it has a certain degree of difficulty on a spiritual platform. On the spiritual platform, it's the most difficult. The spiritual means antithetical of ego. And bhakti is the most antithetical of ego. Because you have to surrender. We're actually, I'm here with Hari Shyam, we're actually appreciating Deenanagari. I gave class this morning in my room and these two couples came. And I know one of the couples from India. And you know, one takes care of the cows, they give them some salary or something like that. The other one is looking at that beautiful couple, young, dynamic. And, just Prabhupada's vision, they've embraced simple life. You know, they're not going to get all the other things that everyone else gets. But they embraced it for life. They made a decision to live simply and take the opulence of community and spirituality over the opulence of technology and prestige. And it's a beautiful, we're noticing, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. For this reason, my dear boy, you should not endeavor for this. It will not be successful. It's better that you go home. When you're grown up by the mercy of the Lord, you'll get a chance for these mystic performances. At that time, you may execute this function. That was the next verse of my speech. Purport, generally a thoroughly trained person takes spiritual perfection at the end of his life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, life is divided into four stages. In the beginning, one becomes a brahmachari, a student who studies Vedic knowledge under the authoritative guidance of the spiritual master. He then becomes a householder and executes household duties according to the Vedic process. Then the householder becomes a vanaprastha, and gradually, when he is mature, he renounces household life and vanaprastha life and also takes a sannyas, completely devoting himself to devotional service. Generally, people think childhood is meant for enjoying life by engaging oneself in sports and play. Youth is meant for enjoying the contact of young girls. And when one becomes old at the time of death, then he may try to execute devotional service or a mystic yogic process. But this conclusion is not for devotees who are actually serious. Well, you know, there's a general process of renunciation, but the people who are serious, wherever you are, you dedicate it to Krishna. And the austerity is doing what Krishna wants, which is an austerity, even taking care of your family, maybe an austerity. The austerity is doing what Krishna wants, living simply and dedicating your life to Krishna. The great sage Narada is instructing Dhruva Maharaj just to test. Actually, the direct order is that from any point of life, one should begin rendering devotional service. But it is the duty of the spiritual master to test the disciple to see how seriously he desires to execute devotional service. Then he may be initiated. Initiated has two senses. One, you initiate something, you begin the process. And initiation also means a rite where you completely dedicate yourself to the process. And I see initiation to be taken in two ways. But if one is serious, and your engagement in duties generally comes are generally commensurate with your level of spiritual evolution. And you dedicate yourself. Once you try to keep yourself satisfied, then okay. Next verse. Yasya yadaiva vihitam satena sukha dukayo atmanam toshinam dehi tamasa param richati. Once you try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the supreme will, a person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nesting very easily. So now Narada is giving him very, very clear instructions based on jazz. Marchas, sparshas, tekonteas, utoshas, utadukada. Agama payano nityas panchakashvabharat. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their due course in time is like the changing of the winter and summer seasons, and one should not be disturbed by it. Just do your duty, whatever it is. Do your duty. Don't be disturbed. It's, you know, insult, honor, dishonor. This is classic. This is spiritual life. Don't react to the world based on only what your destiny is, but react to the world understanding what your destiny is, but don't let your destiny dictate completely your reaction. Your reaction should be based on Shastra, which takes into account what destiny is. So you're insulted. Right? That's your situation. He was insulted. So don't act simply on the basis, I'm insulted, and that becomes the impetus to your life. I won't be able to sleep because I was insulted, I will be happy this day. I will get him back. I'll be better than that person and everything else. No. I was insulted. That's what God says. That's destiny. In my past life I may have insulted someone else. I should be tolerant. I should not respond simply basis on that. So he's giving him good advice, which he can't follow. And this was a point I was discussing it this morning, that we have certain situations and certain desires. I gave the example, mother, someone becomes a mother. How do they apply the philosophy of Jnana, that they're not the body? You completely neglect the bodily relationship between you and your child, their soul, and therefore they're equal to every other spirit soul. You know, how do you deal with your natural attachment? Well, with the bhakti philosophy, you work through that. Or you connect them to God. And therefore, your natural attachment to a child becomes an attachment to a devotee of Krishna. And then even if they don't become a devotee of Krishna, your natural attachment to a child becomes the fact that they are a devotee of Krishna and they're connected to you, and the only way to be connected to a devotee is for you to be nice to them. You don't deny those emotions. In fact, if a woman is gyanic and too detached, they say bhakti is not the one who's too attached to too detached. Because our normal emotions in this world are a template in a purified way of how to open our hearts to others and ultimately to God. Therefore, the jnani can't take the bhakti because he's too detached. The bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu said, too detached, too attached. If you're too attached, then you'll just be on the bottom of the bhakti. And if you're too detached, then you won't like opening your heart at all. So it's a very, very fine line here. So Narada is basically telling him, just tolerate. But he's a Kshatriya. And he's been trained, as Prabhupada says, to have prestige and not to flee for battle. And to have that spirit. And it's necessary for his service to Krishna. You know, you can be a very saintly devotee, but if someone is a leader, you want him to have that drive. You know, in protecting. I am a protector. You want them to have that drive. So it's a very fine line how you get trained. And how do you, you know, and sometimes your material propensities are encouraged. Your natural affection in family life is encouraged. You got to get counseling if you don't have it, even though it's born from the body. Same thing with your nature. One is a Kshatriya, you know, and you're a leader, and they're going to say, oh, like Arjuna, I don't want to fight. Everyone is weak. No, must be strong. Purport, material existence consists of pious and impious fruit of activity. As long as one is engaged in any kind of activity other than devotional service, it will result in the happiness and distress of this material world. Where we put the suffering it is understood that we diminish in the resultant actions of the pious activity. So he's telling him, so what if you're suffering? It's your karma. And you're being purified. Just get over it, dude. Get over it. Tolerate. This is the ultimate platform. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, act on that ultimate, you know, act on that platform. Do your duty. Don't be afraid to fight. Tolerate. Act on the spiritual platform. It's your duty. Instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and distress resulting from pious and impious activity. If we want to get out of the clutches of this nation, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept. Thus, if we simply surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we shall get out of the clutches of material existence. So, we're sheltered by God, and everything's coming by God. Don't worry. Every position we're put in by His will, just simply surrender to God, whatever it is. Now God's saying you're dying, then surrender to His will. And die properly. If that's God's will. And if you're insulted or put in a difficult situation, then it's God's will. It's your purification. Just figure out what's the appropriate way to respond. According to Krishna's will, not according to how your modes are reacting to the situation, but how to the situation according to knowledge. Destiny is there to purify us. So how do we respond to this? We do respond to destiny. We do see it as God's will, but responding to destiny doesn't mean to respond to destiny according to the impulses of our samsaras. It means responding to destiny according to the wisdom of the shastras, which knows the message and truth that destiny is giving us. So he's saying basically to Dhruva, you should just get over it. Next verse. Gunadikam mudam lipshed anukrosham gunadamat matrim samanad andicham natapir abhibhuyate. Every man should act like this. So these are the instructions. And we're going to see why Dhruva can't follow it. But these are the instructions that we should apply to our lives in a practical way when we are undergoing the suffering of the world, which means when the world is moving against our attachments and desires, and specifically the instructions we should apply when relationships are going against our desire, when relationships have the spear of bitterness and insult and humiliation, which is probably the most difficult thing to take in the world. So how should we look at it? How should we respond? And how do most people respond? They respond according to the false identity that I am the body and I am the controller. And they respond in a way of depression or revenge or pride or violence or bad words, all based on the wrong conception of life. So what he's going to tell them is, this is how you should respond to an enlightened view of the world. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. So this is in the Yoga Sutras also. It describes how you control the mind of the world in terms of the various relationships that you find. So when you see someone more qualified than yourself, you should be pleased. Or you'll overcome envy. Why are we upset when someone's more qualified than ourselves? Because we're
material consciousness. And material consciousness means we want to enjoy and control, and we need power. And when someone is better than us, it threatens us. First of all, it threatens our desire to be supreme. Generally, we become envious of people in the same category. Like, we may worship a rock star. We don't get envious. But among the fans, who's the best fans? We don't become envious of our guru, but who's the best disciple? The brahmacharis don't get envious among the sannyasis, but who's the best brahmachari? So like this, we create our own worlds to be the lord and master of. And if we can't do that, sometimes a materialistic person will limit his world to just a few people where he can have that sense. So here what it says is, no, if someone is better, then be happy. Be happy. More qualified than you, be happy. And you get free vending. When meet someone less qualified than himself, you should be compassionate towards them. So generally, when someone meets someone less qualified, they lord over them. It helps them in their egotistical quest. They want them in their world as their underling. They want them in their world as their object of scorn and gossip. Because it gives them that sense of superiority to fulfill the reason they came to this world, which is icha dvesha samutena, desire and hate, the dualities of desire and hate. You've come to that world. But saying, if you want to be a yogi, if you want to be spiritual, don't fall under sway of the dictates of your material consciousness. In this way, one is never, and when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. Not compete with him for superiority. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold misery of this world, material world. So, Dhruva, all right, don't be envious. Okay, you know, the stepmother is in a superior position. Live with it. Be pleased. Be pleased. If she wants your younger brother to be king, so be it. Hare Krishna, be humble. I can't sit on the throne. He's sitting on the throne. Well, you're lucky to sit on the throne. Don't be so. Purport, generally when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we become someone equal, we become proud of our activities. These are all the causes of material tribulations because they're born from false ego. And when you act according to false ego, you bolster, you increase the material conception of life. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate towards him just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. Just think of it. Think of all the people that are better than you, that you can be pleased and serve. Think of all the people that are suffering, that you can show compassion. So these are all good instructions. We'll do one more verse. 835, Dhruva Uvacha, Sayam Samo Bhagavata, Sukha dukha hatamanam darshita kripaya pumsam dudarsho smad vidaisthuna. Jumard said, my dear Lord Narada Ji, the person whose heart is disturbed by the material conditions of happiness and distress, whatever you have so kindly explained for attainment of peace of mind is certainly a good instruction. But as far as I am concerned, I am covered by ignorance, and this kind of philosophy does not touch my heart. So the words were not beyond his intelligence. They were beyond his ability to actually follow. And now the question is, what do you do when you can't follow what is right? Are you hopeless in Krishna consciousness? It's a question that people have to face, and they have to face it without duplicity. They have to actually live up as far as possible, up to the standard that they can. And you don't take examples like Gulmarg, you know, I have this desire, it's okay. So it's sincerity is such, sincerity and guidance has to be the guide for our activities, sincerity and guidance. Otherwise, we can rationalize any activities we do. But sincerity and in guidance, when you are actually not able to follow a particular standard, is there hope in Krishna? And there's hope. Why? Because through his compassion, by making sure you know what the ideal is, so you don't rationalize the goal, you don't create a new philosophy, because then you'll never get to the perfection. As long as you understand the goal, and as long as you're humble about where you are at, and don't try to justify it. I'm not at the standard. So Dhruva is humble. I'm not at the standard. He's not changing his philosophy. Support his false ego. No. This is the philosophy. No, he said, I'm not up to the standard. So now he can advance. The Dhruva has become compassionate. So do this. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can't do this, then do this. 12th chapter. You can't do this, then do this. You can't do this, then do this. The key is, okay, I'm going to stop now. I'm going to unmute the phone. Give me a second. Okay, give me another second to put it on the unmute. Now try to unmute yourself if you want to ask a question. And if somehow it doesn't unmute by this process, let me know and I'll try something else. In the future. Anybody like to ask a question and say hello? Well, I see that people can't get through.
Maharaj.
Oh, that's Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Gail. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was so much noise online, it was hard to hear, but I know you said that, you know, if you're having trouble with this coming up to the standard, you know, you don't rationalize the ideal. And there's a 12th chapter of the Gita, you can't do this, do that, you can't do that, do this, whatever like that, you know. But I felt like you had might have said something else also, something maybe more specific, or, you know. I mean, for that, you know, you don't lose hope in trying to come up to the standard. What are you to do, actually, in that situation?
Well, you're to still execute devotional service.
Yeah.
Despite your inabilities, like Dhruva, right? You still execute devotional service. Just because you can't follow everything, it doesn't mean you shouldn't. You can execute devotional service. And you execute devotional service, you understand the goal, you try to make provisions to get to that standard, you take shelter of Guru and Krishna, you be honest in your things, and you move towards that step. I know, for example, I'm not going to give any more details, but one person I know who, you know, takes shelter of me in ways that they have not such a clean profession.
Yeah.
And they'd love to get out of it, but that's how they're maintained. And it's also psychological what they do or something. So what to do? They're humble about it. They wish they weren't that way. They wish it was something better. But they still take shelter of Krishna. And they still take to the process of Krishna consciousness in a feeling of humility. And don't speculate too much what it is, because you'll never guess. But
I'm not even trying.
Thank you, Gail. But you don't give up, right? Or, I mean, let's say a classic example. You know, one person came to me. This is about 10, 15 years ago. And came. I'll be finished in about 5 minutes. And came out of the closet that they were gay and wished they weren't, because it was hard, very hard for them to purify their sex desire, you know. You know what I'm saying? But they were honest. And they were honest. You know, the situation, their karma in that particular situation, it was very difficult to purify themselves. They understood the whole thing. They didn't rationalize it. But they still knew that the standard was to become free from sex desire, right? Eventually. They knew that that was desire. And eventually you have to become purified in material. They knew that. They knew that their situation was difficult in many ways for what they want to achieve. But they still continued in Krishna consciousness with enthusiasm. And nor did I discourage them and try to put them into some conversion therapy. You know, to change their sexual orientation or whatever it is. You know, so I'm saying things like that that you face. And that may, you know, that one example, there just may be other examples. But that would be a classic example of someone who their karma was difficult in their particular situation. According to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, there were some more challenges.
And,
okay?
And a person like this who is just doing whatever they can, Krishna's recognizing the sincerity. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be attached to this. I don't know. But should that person still be looking forward to, is it realistic for such a person to still be looking forward to finish the business in this life?
Yeah, why not? Everyone wants to finish the business in one's life. In terms of sex desire, old age will help with that. You know? But again, you remember the story. There was one lady was a prostitute. That was her occupation. We know even Dwarka, people were prostitutes. So men would come to her. That's the way she was earning, and there was a pure Brahmin next door, and he was so disgusted that someone would have illicit sex, and every time someone came, he would throw a rock over the wall, and she felt terrible. And she went back to Godhead because she felt terrible. And she was, you know, very humble. And he stayed because he was proud. So there's some leeway there. I don't want people to run away with, you can do whatever you want. But within certain confines, there is compassion. And there is humility. And, you know, there is compassion by teachers, and there is humility by students. And that goes a long way. I remember another example, too. There was one lady in really struggling in many ways with Krishna consciousness in her mind, and she had a lot of issues. And then one time, I remember one of my godbrothers, who's very exalted, was visiting. She was too shy to come up and greet him, and he was greeting so many people. When he was walking out of the program, she just came up to him and just cried, I'm so fallen. But I'm just so happy that there are people like you traveling around the world giving Krishna consciousness. And then that person confided in me that, you know, that heart of that lady was more attractive to him than certain people that were following that were so envious and always criticizing him.
Naturally,
but not everybody, you know, so it's not that, you know, right, you know, that following the rules and being strict in Krishna consciousness won't help you, but it helps you for purpose to purify your heart and become humble. And we know that even if you have all the brahminical qualities, but you're not humble, you can't save yourself. And even if you have all bad qualities, but you're humble, you can deliver the world. Or bad qualities, you know, someone born in a family of dog eaters, etc. So there is that element of the philosophy that's so important. You know, that ultimately it comes down to nonviolence and humility. And you have to be humble, that's all. And you'll be rapidly purified, and Krishna will bless you.
I hope you're talking about
okay?
me, Maharaj.
Well, you know, I didn't like to embarrass people by mentioning names, you know. But, okay. You know, I have to go because, believe it or not, I'm giving this call within Peter Nagin. They demand so much that they have a Verizon in the office where I'm able to call. It's amazing because I never thought I was about to drive out, but Hari Shyam found this. So I have to kind of go now because they need to use the office. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.